Welcome, everybody, to another Motive Podcast. My name is Shaden Bertinoli. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and here to try to help you solve a problem in your life that hopefully can make you a little bit happier and a little more confident. So, as always, I have a little bit of an idea of where I want to go with this, but honestly, I don't know. And that's okay. A lot of times the best things happen when I start podcasts this way. And it's so crazy that I've done 60-something episodes now, and yet there's still, you know, nervousness and anxiety about this. And there's, you know, if I'm honest with you, there's always this imposter syndrome of who am I, you know, to share. And I think clients often will tell me I'll admit something about my own life, or I'll say something that I've struggled with as a parent or whatever, and talk to them about it. And they kind of like get surprised, like, oh, yeah, like they'll say something like, yeah, I didn't even think that, like, I would just kind of assume that you'd like do really good at life or whatever. And holy moly, heck no. Like I'm human just like everybody else. And, make very many mistakes in my own life when it comes to things that I even know, you know, I'll be in the middle of doing something wrong and know that I'm doing it wrong, but it can be really tough. And it kind of goes along, honestly, with what I feel impressed to talk about today, which is, you know, the role of beliefs in your life. And I don't necessarily mean like spiritual beliefs, but I do mean, you know, kind of the testimony, if you will, of you. And in my course, I call them defective beliefs. This is module number 4 that I'm going to be talking a lot about today. But it's, you know, all of us, we go through life and we have an experience, right? Every single day, something happens to us. And when something happens, we feel something about it. And then we think something about it, and all of that can happen in 0.5 of a second. And then we then do something, and that action then creates even more thoughts and emotions. And then that creates an experience. Okay. And this experience all the while is creating what I would call a belief. So that the repetition of something happening, what we feel, what we think, how we act, all of those things start to contribute to a belief. Let me share with you what I mean. So let's just say there's a belief that I have I have an entire sheet of defective beliefs that I've created. And one of them that I have is I call like a worthaholic. So the worthaholic would say, the worthaholic belief would suggest that my worth depends on what I achieve or my status in life, job, etc. And definitely I've been guilty of this one. And I always like to say to scale these from 1 to 10. And certain times in my life, this one's been at a high, and other times it's very low. But this belief, you know, that this my worth depends on what I achieve or my status in life or my job. This belief comes from, like I said, a repetition of experiences and thoughts and emotions. And over time, you know, after you've said something to yourself so many times, it morphs from a thought and into a belief. And these beliefs then can stay in there, and they can even be asleep. They can be, I use the word dormant, like in hibernation, and they're just fine. They don't even do anything to you until something occurs that triggers it and wakes it up. And when it wakes up, it does what it's supposed to do, which is get your attention and invite you to avoid, withdraw, run away, attack, protect, you know, you name it, it gets your attention. And so with a worthaholic belief, so let's just say that that's inside of me. And then all of a sudden, you know, I get, so my worth depends on what I achieve or the status of my life. And let's just say that for some reason, my ability to be a therapist is taken away. And my worth has been so much in what I do. So now my ability to be a therapist is taken away. Obviously, this is a pretty big event, but I would feel so many emotions about it, right? And I would have thoughts that are like, I guess I don't have purpose anymore, and and my work, my life is now a waste, and I have nothing to contribute. And that could create some really bad behaviors after that, where I really start to shut down and give up in maybe many ways. And after I shut down and give up in some way, while I'm doing that, I'd probably feel and think even worse things, like feel very hopeless, feel very discouraged, and have many different thoughts of that are just downright not okay. And then that could create an experience, right? And that experience could be a really bad one. It could create knowledge for me that really, like, I guess that's all I was ever meant to be, and now I can't. And as you can see, putting all of those into one, it's kind of like it's a pattern, if you will. Putting all those into one, it actually now confirms my belief that, yeah, like, look how I feel, look how what I'm thinking. And it's really easy to be persuaded that, yeah, like, I guess I really am worth less because I'm not able to achieve. And this worthaholic belief now just got steroids, which then means the ability for that belief to be triggered again increases. So I feel like I'm going a little bit fast here. So sorry if I went too fast for you. I'll slow this down for just a second or for the remainder. In other words, what you believe about yourself, as insecure as your beliefs are, is to the same extent that you are able to be controlled by those beliefs. And to the extent that you, as insecure or negative or defective as your beliefs are, is to the extent that you will very likely live your life in a way that avoids those, that keeps them asleep. They become our gravity, if you will. They kind of become this thing that we revolve around and we set up our life around until something happens that is completely out of our control and where you're forced to confront those beliefs. And so much of what I do in this office in therapy is to confront beliefs. Sometimes we do it directly, other times it's indirectly. But inevitably, right, in our life, why would you want to go throughout your entire life building a life that protects you from the beliefs that were created during childhood, teenage years, in your 20s, et cetera? Why would we want to do that? Right? There are some benefits that are not super great, but the benefits are it keeps you safe. It allows you to feel comfortable. It allows you to just be in a familiar state of being that you're used to. You know, it's very familiar. Letting your beliefs drive you is another way of just kind of sometimes staying powerless. And it's just easier. It doesn't take as much effort than it does to confront your beliefs. But for many of you listening, this whole idea, this concept of belief might actually be a new one for you. Like, maybe you didn't even know, and there's no need to be ashamed of it or embarrassed if you didn't, but I hope that you can see that there are beliefs in you. You have them. There are experiences that you have had, things you've gone through that sometimes even had to happen just one time, and they created beliefs about you. I've worked with a lot of people who have gone through sexual trauma, and it's just one time even, and it creates beliefs. And these beliefs are not great, and they can really change the course of that person's life to the extent that the trauma was damaging, but the beliefs and the effect of the trauma was even worse. And learning how to break through on those and to change them is a really important step that my course can help you with, and therapy can help you with, and many other things. But the fact is, you have them, and the step of recognition of being aware of them is a big one. And so, just like I gave this example, I have this big sheet that I give out on my program or in the mood and anxiety course online that has about 30 something beliefs in it for you to go through and really assess yourself as to what you believe about yourself. One of the ones that I see, I want to talk about a couple though, some of the big ones that I see the most is what I would call a defective belief. And that would to believe that you're defective. And I define that as I'm not enough and I'm worthless and I'm ashamed of myself. This is, so many people come in, they want to work on anxiety, they want to work on on addictions. They want to work on relationships. And although those are really important to work on, and they're getting some attention in your life, what I usually find is at the core of those, at the very baseline, at the depth of who you are, is this really defective belief that's called that I actually do call defective. And it's and until that is seen, people can kind of start getting really good at covering wounds, you know, covering really deep cuts with Band-Aids. And so you might like learn how to cope with your anxiety. You might know how to figure out some ways to help your depression, but ultimately there's still like some cancer in there. There's still some stuff that needs to get sorted out because it can continue to be triggered. So the cool part is, if beliefs are the insecurities or the buttons that can be pushed, then taking them away takes away the opportunity for a trigger to occur. Most of us, though, what do? Most of us stay unaware of our beliefs about ourselves. We then focus on changing behavior every day of our life, trying to fix this and fix that, and we observe our behavior all the time. Meanwhile, we have no idea that the reason that behavior is even occurring is because of what you believe about yourself. Like, you want to lose weight? I do. But the problem is, I personally have some beliefs about myself that are defective. Like, it's not super serious, but at the same time, there's times that I wonder, like, do I love myself? And I'm sure that you think the same thing for you. So if I don't really like myself, if I just don't even have about me, why would I lose weight? Right? I could try to change how I eat and change many things about me, but ultimately I'm probably going to get burned out because it's coming from a source of what I call willpower or grit. And willpower and grit are good to have, but in order to change like really strong habits and strong behaviors, you can't do that with willpower and grit alone. You have to actually check in with the beliefs you have about yourself. And once you can see that the belief that you're functioning with and losing weight is from a very bad place, that's where you want to start. You want to start by changing that belief. And I promise everyone here listening, you have these. I call it a recipe. Everyone has a recipe of ingredients, you know, certain ingredients that are inside of them of darkness, things that are the beliefs that are pretty dark that make up the insecure you. And there are many parts of you that are secure. There are many beliefs you have that are really good. I call those sufficient beliefs. They're really good beliefs and strong beliefs. And so when the opportunity happens to be there, when you get to use, you know, do something and perform in a way that allows you to use your beliefs that way, then it works. But if something else occurs that triggers these other dark beliefs, you can find yourself extremely anxious, extremely shameful, and avoidant in many ways. So hopefully you're listening thinking, well, what do I do? Right. And so one of the first things I'm going to tell you is you have to be self-aware. You have to know them. And if you, let's just say you don't buy my course, which shame on you. No, just kidding. But honestly, my course is built to help you with this. But if let's just say you weren't going to get the course, I would say ask someone who knows you really well. And one thing you could do is ask them what they see in you. You know, maybe it's a mom or a best friend, and see, you know, ask them, what do you see in me of times when I've acted very insecure? Or what do you think that I'm actually, is there some feedback you could give me that you think I'm needing that maybe shows me something that I've been afraid of my whole life? You know, one time I was in a pretty bad place myself, and I felt a lot of grief about my dad's passing, and I had this distinct impression when I asked myself, what am I afraid of? And that's when I realized how much I was afraid of love. And it was a weird acknowledgement for myself, but I realized I'm not completely afraid of love, but I may be afraid sometimes of like deep love because of how painful the loss of my dad actually was. And I've had to work through that. And so because of that belief inside that love is scary, it's easy to then, when something occurs like needing to show love, that it's certain behaviors can come out that are sarcastic or avoidant, or, you know, that don't really show it, and it just kind of dumbs it down. And so if I would have asked my mother at that time, or somebody that really knew me, my wife, they may have been able to share that with me and see that in me. Maybe not though, but it's at least worth trying. So another thing you can do is you can look back at some of your experiences that you've had in life that have been really tough experiences that will not be forgotten, and ask yourself, how has this defined me? In going through this, in what ways has it defined me? In what ways have I allowed this to speak to me? You know, for example, if you went through a lot of bullying, did you let yourself believe that you're worthless? Did you let yourself believe that you should never be vulnerable ever again? And did you let yourself believe that you should never be weak, and you should never feel stupid? You know, for a lot of people that have felt really strong emotions, they can end up having kind of this belief that feeling angry and feeling strong emotions isn't okay. And so every time you have an experience where you feel strong emotions, it triggers you and you run away. Meanwhile, what's going on is inside of you, you believe that feeling emotion is like bad, or feeling strong emotion is bad. And that's just not true. And so one of the key ingredients here is once you have found these beliefs, if you can give them a name, or if you can define them very simply, give them like a little bit of a one sentence like belief statement of like, I believe I should never be weak, or I believe that you know, I should never get too close to somebody. Once you find that, what can happen is as you write it down, there's a natural confrontation that occurs as you write, and then sharing it with somebody else creates another natural confrontation of it, which confrontation, I mean, it confronts the rationality of it to begin with. Because if I read you any of these that I've, you know, like for example, if you read on paper, I should never be weak ever. I would hope that most of you listening would read that and be like, wow, like really? So that means like if my kid passed away, or if something extremely tragic happened, I'm literally, that means that I should never feel weak. It's so black and white. And what can happen is when you begin to realize that this belief is all encompassing and it's way too black and white, way too literal, way too much to even realize to do, you can then say, can I challenge this? Can I replace it with a belief that is much better? And for example, with, you know, being weak, if your belief was I should never be weak, I would challenge you to change it to something like there are times to be weak and there are times to be strong. And coincidentally, most of the times when I do express weakness, it creates connection. So if my weakness creates connection, then it is great. Something like that. You have to find it though, or come to therapy and we can do it together, or take the course. And I have a whole list of sufficient beliefs that kind of offset a lot of these defective beliefs that you have. I should have had a clicker in my hand of how many times I've used the word belief. It's a lot. But believe me, you like that? Believe me, your beliefs are impacting you, and they are doing some work inside of you, even blindly. The best therapy creates awareness of things that you never saw in yourself. And I'll just be a firsthand witness that my life, the greatest blind spots I've ever had are about the things that I believe about myself, and I still have them. And I'm still going to have to confront myself with them, but at least I'm actively trying to find them. And I hope that you can too, because why? Freedom, like personal freedom and peace. Because when you give these beliefs up, when you see them and you say, you know what, I'm done with these, your life will change forever. And you might even have a lot of regret after you change a lot of them, because you'll realize how much they were really controlling your life. These fears, like these things that you were so afraid of happening, or you'll realize, man, they were controlling my life. And now that I don't live according to them, I'm free to do this. I'm free to wear this. I'm free to go here. I'm free to say this. I set boundaries for myself now. I say what I mean. There's so many things that you will do differently when these beliefs start to become just aware. You don't even have to change them a lot of the time. It's just knowing that they're there will start to change you. And you deserve that. You deserve to be happy, and you deserve to figure out who you are. And on the flip side, the more you understand your beliefs and the things that you've gone through and how they've affected you, the greater mentor and minister you're going to be to others around you as an empathic person who understands people. And there's not a greater gift, honestly. It's a very rewarding feeling to sit down with someone and to use your life in your own mind as a roadmap to help them feel understood and to take away the loneliness that they've been going through for a long time. So I hope and challenge you to get on my website at motiveacademy.com if you haven't already, and get the course. I know many of you that have listened have probably thought about it, but just do it. It's worth your time. It's worth your time and your investment, and take another step in your life for some improvement there, and it'll pay off, I promise. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next show.